to class. All right, and I would like Brother Dave John, who is not here, to hand out the blank sheets of paper. Are they there? Okay, could we hand those out? Thank you. I forgot that he might be away because of the offering. Yes, okay. So if you would take one of those pieces of paper, and we're going to give you the quiz of the century right here. All right. Now, if you notice, up on the, you can go ahead and put that up. Now Patrick's down here. I'm sorry. All right. So I gave those papers to the wrong person, I guess. I didn't realize that. Okay. Sorry, Dave. We already passed those sheets out. Okay. Now, if you notice up here, we are in week three, the salvation testimony. But last week, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Now, this one might be a little trickier for you. But if you will, write out 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Let's see how well you do on that one. I like to use this verse because one of the things that we try to do, I shouldn't talk. Go ahead, write that out. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. First word is whosoever. All right, whosoever committeth is the second word. Whosoever committeth. The third word is sin. So the third word is sin. Whosoever committeth sin. That's as much as I'm going to help you on this. So whosoever committeth sin. No, I won't take off for spelling. That's right. In capital letters. You've got to do the capital letters right. Periods as well. There is a colon mark in that verse. So. All right. Okay, when you are done with that, turn that page over and write out the three crucial issues of the gospel. The three crucial issues of the gospel. And I'll help you on this. The first point is the problem. So what is the problem? The second point is the solution. So what is the solution to the problem? And the third issue is the responsibility. All right? So, three issues of the gospel. The fourth word in that other verse is transgressions. Transgresseth, I'm sorry, not transgressions. Transgresseth, it's a verb. How many are done? Would you raise your hand? Okay, I'll give you another minute. And then if you don't know it, you don't know it. So just maybe you can try to learn it. All right. It's not fair to Darren and family because they didn't know. What's that? I think you guys have taken my evangelism course, training for evangelism. Yes, sure did. All right. Now, yes, please put your name on this. Now, I'm not handing them back, but I just want to know how much the teacher has taught. Because if the teacher teaches, the student doesn't get it, he has not taught. Right, Kimberly? All right. Okay, if you can collect those, Gage, would you do that for me and bring those up here? And while they're bringing those up, I do want to make an announcement. Right after the service tonight, I have, Emma is a trainer, is that right? And Pastor Nathan's a trainer, Brother Patrick's a trainer. Pastor Byford is a trainer. Karis is a trainer. And Sandy Zastro is a trainer. So I would like for us to have somewhat of a short meeting right up here, right after the service tonight, because I want to give a little bit of direction as to how we're going to do this. All right? Okay, I'd like you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation, chapter 12. I'm up here during the song service, and it dawned on me something about this word that we're going to be looking at in Revelation, chapter 12. And it tells us that, verse 9, the great dragon was cast out. And who is that great dragon? The devil. The serpent called the devil. He's also called Satan. He's a slanderer. He's someone who is deceiving the whole world. But we're told how we can overcome the devil in verse 11. And they overcame him, first of all, by the blood of the Lamb. We've looked at this verse before in different occasions. By the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That word testimony. Does anyone know, other than Pastor Nathan, who would probably look it up here, what the word is for that? Yes. Yeah, Joe. Okay, it's the word, and I was from the original language, it's the word martyria. Well, that really excited. Where we get the word martyr. And the word is translated 37 times in the King James Bible, as 15 times it's translated witness. It is translated 14 times testimony, 7 times record, and 1 time it's translated report. If somebody is on a witness stand and they are to give testimony, it could cost them if they tell the truth. That's why so often you have to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And when somebody does not tell the truth, they perjure themselves, and they can be in big trouble. Unless, I won't even go into politics. Okay, now, it's an interesting thing that the idea of testimony, the word of their testimony, there is victory over Satan when we use our testimony. All right? And we are giving a witness to having a testimony. Now, I do want to have. Can I ask you, Dave, to give that other sheet out? And I have an outline here, and we'll use the overhead for that. How to give a testimony. So it's important, I think, that we do witness, but sometimes witness is just simply telling our story. And telling the story of how we came to Jesus Christ. So I want to just spend a little bit of time here talking about how to give a testimony. Now, while you're thinking on that, I have several testimonies that I collect. And I don't have them all. Let me name some of these people. Some of you that have been around a while know these people. Tom Kelly's personal testimony. Marlene Reed's personal testimony. Leslie Wright, his testimony. Rusty Smith, her testimony. You wrote a track on that, all right? Terry Shump, Marlene Reed. Now, if you know anything about Marlene, it shouldn't surprise you that it's 4 or 5 pages, whatever. All right. Kyle Shump, Pat Cardwell, Leslie Wright. I already did his. Sometimes they'd rewrite them. CB, I don't know who that is. So when you don't put your name on things, I lose track of that. Dave Perry did his testimony. Mary Perry. Daniel Hughes wrote out his testimony. Helen Kramer. Ann Green. She's not here. Is she? There she is, Ann. Do you want to get up and read your... No, I won't have you do that right now. Sandy Zastro. Dawn Martinez. Debbie Marshall. Leanne Schaefer, Heather Grimes, Troy Grimes, they're serving the Lord out in western Kansas. Adam Talbert, a pastor in Illinois. Tom Bard did his testimony. Tony Buffett, and I don't know, I could keep going here. Steve Hendricks, and let's see, did I mention Rick Martinez? Rick Martinez, Doug Martin, he's now dead. And it's an interesting thing when somebody dies and you have their testimony. He being dead yet speaketh. Betty Hensley, Denise Hammonds, Paul Hammonds, Pat Cardwell, I think we had hers already. Somebody named Dave, it got cut off at the top. I don't think it's yours, Dave, John. Peggy Haynes, Debbie Torres, Jana Childers, yes, Emily Reeves, Emily Burgess, Mark Wagner, Debbie Marshall, we already had one from her, Steve McDonald, Jennifer John, I got Jennifer's here, Gary Schooling. And let's see, there's Kimberly Smith. I have Kimberly's testimony here. Some of these I have how long it takes for them to give it, too, by the way. Levi Schooley, one of our missionaries. Paula Schooley. So I'm just saying here that these are testimonies that God has used. I think of, I forget the young lady's name, who had twins and both twins died and she died. Nicole, yes, and in doing her funeral, we were able to share her testimony. So what I'm saying is it does make a difference with our testimony, and it gives us an opportunity. So the question that comes up, because some of you, now we've been doing the foundations class, and I have the foundations class people write testimonies. But I don't give any direction as to how to do that. I want to give some direction about how to give a testimony. So let's go through some quick points at the beginning. Prerequisites for giving a testimony. First of all, you need to have a testimony. So you need a true salvation experience. And so some people can't give a testimony because they don't really know if they're saved. And which brings me to number two, an assurance of salvation. To be 100% sure. It's not a very strong testimony to say, well, I think maybe possibly I could have been saved. You know, you want to have assurance of salvation. You want to have a life that backs up the testimony because, you know, he that, you know, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. James chapter 2, 14 tells us that faith without works is dead. So, you know, you can share your testimony, and I could give you stories of this, and you're a big hypocrite. And people are going to say, yeah, right. You know, we want a life that backs up the testimony. False ideas concerning a testimony. Capital A, that you need to know the exact time you were saved. Now, what I mean by that is someone said, well, I'm not sure the exact month and the day. But the point is, you need to know of a time when you got saved. Now, I kind of know what my date of my testimony is. I think it was April 3rd. Isn't that what yours is, Annie? April? Yeah, so could be. All right, so, you know, but you don't have to know the exact time of your salvation testimony, but you should know of a testimony. You need to know much about the Bible before giving your testimony. John chapter 9, I love that chapter, where Jesus healed the blind man. And they just kept asking him, you know, who healed you? And he's, well, this man that, you know, he just came up and told me, he says, you know, you're blind now, you can see. And he just comes back and they said, well, tell us what happened. So I don't know, but one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. And as a matter of fact, Jesus has to come up to him later and say, no, you know, you have to believe in the one that healed you. And he said, well, who is that? And he said, you're looking at him. So you don't have to know a lot about the Bible. All you need is a testimony. All right? Number three, that you need to be a good speaker. Oh, man, you know, I fumble around with my words. Well, that's fine. You know what I find? People are not impressed with all kinds of skilled speakers. Sometimes you just mumble through what God has done in your life, and God can use that. All right? Preparation of a testimony. Now, this is going to take, it's going to require time, thought, prayer, experience to be most effective. Now, what I mean by that, I'm still tweaking my testimony. You know, for several reasons, because I can tend to get wordy, or I can tend to get into information that really is not pertinent to the moment. And as a matter of fact, I would say in a witnessing situation, you don't want to take more than 3 minutes giving your testimony, because it's not about you. It's the porch that helps you to get to the gospel. And now, there's times, isn't there, where you have an opportunity to get up and give your testimony. I told Dowie last week, I said, now, I don't want it to be too short. Now, we say it can't be too long because Pastor Nathan had to still preach. But, you know, when you have an hour, you might get up and you can say, okay, I can give you, fill in all the information about that testimony. And maybe somebody would come up to you and say, well, what I'd like you to do is in our service tonight to get up and tell us your testimony. Oh, you know, don't do that. No, I already know what I'm going to say, you see. And what I would suggest is that you take some time to do this. So which means that our homework for the week is what? You know what our homework is? Write out a testimony. So which means that you only have this week to write it out, because what I want is to have everyone here, if you would, give your testimony next Sunday night. All right? Now, if everybody takes 3 minutes, that's going to take 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18. So right there, we already have a half hour. So what I want you to really do, now you say, well, what if I don't? Well, then, phooey on you. You know, what am I going to say? You know. No, but it would be a blessing. It would be a true blessing. Now, if you are taking the class or you're involved as a trainer, trainee, I really want you to give your testimony. Now, it's going to take some time to tweak that so that you're not up here rambling. So, which means that probably next week what you'd want to do is to maybe even read your testimony. But in a witnessing situation, usually you don't say, hey, can I go get my notebook? And, you know, no, you're talking to them. So you want this to be as conversational as possible. In practicing it, you may want to put it in outline form. So, you know, when you look at your testimony, maybe you could say, well, instead of reading word for word, I want to get the basic idea of this. I do not preach from a manuscript. Now, I know good preachers that do. Pastor Harding preaches from a manuscript. I don't know, do you preach from a manuscript? Okay. I don't preach from a manuscript because to me it becomes way too mechanical. They say that Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he was reading his text and God used that sermon mightily, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. So, you know, it's hard to remember, you know, three paragraphs of information. But if you can have it in outline form, that might help you, because at least you're getting across what you are wanting to do. So, depending upon what age you were saved, the following chart, and I want you to write in this chart, okay? Because I am going to give you your testimony. All right, in a general way. All right, now, what you'll see here is that, now I do want to make sure this is true. How many of you have been born? Ah, okay, so that settles that. So everyone has a birthday. My wife has a birthday coming up. It's on Good Friday. And so she has a birthday. I have a birthday. You all have a birthday. Remember we showed by illustration that book last week? You got your birth certificate. You have your death certificate. So if I were to ask you how many of you are saved, would you stand up? If you're able to stand up. All right, almost all of you, can you be seated? So guess what? You have a testimony. You came to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And we gave the issues of the gospel. We all had a problem. What was that problem? Sin. We all have sinned, and sin does what? Separates us from God. We had a problem. But there's a solution. Is that solution baptism? Is that solution church attendance? Is that solution just being nice people? No. What is the solution? One word. Calvary. Calvary is the only solution. And you have a responsibility with Calvary. And if you have become a Christian, like you just said you did, then you are now a child of God. And what was that responsibility? Exercising saving faith. All right? And we see that in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, a gift of God. And of course, we're going to try to make sure we're crystal clear on that when we're presenting that to somebody. So, you were born, and there was a time you got saved. Now, if I were to ask you, how long ago was that? Obviously, it would be different across the board. So, you can put over in that far right corner, after. Chris, when did you get saved? When was it? November 5th. So we have December, January. We have a 3-month-old baby right here. In the Lord, right? Okay. Dowie, what year were you saved? 2011, 13 years ago. So he's a teenager. All right. Let's see, Emma, when were you saved? You don't have to tell us how old you are. Long, long time ago. Okay. Now, so when you think about that, from the time you were born to the time you get saved. How many of you were saved as a child? Would you raise your hand? Okay, so you're saved as a child, which means that, let's say you got saved at, how old were you, Pastor Nathan? 4 years old. So, Pastor Nathan's not going to get up and say, before I was saved, I was a vicious criminal. But his testimony is a very short period from birth to conversion, but a very long period from the time he was saved until today, 24 years of age, right? Right, so 24, think about that. So that means he's a 20-year-old Christian. I can't believe we have a 20-year-old Christian sitting next to a 3-month-old baby. Right? Now, I'm just trying to make a point, and the point is that our testimonies are going to be based on when we got saved. Now, the next thing you see here on the chart is what we have before you were saved. Before salvation, as I've already pointed out. And there's a verse that I want to show to you up here, and it's the verse 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Anybody know what that verse says? The natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So depending on, how many of you, anybody here saved later in life? Raise your hand. Okay, so and again, depending on what later in life means. So here you are, you know, you did not know the things of God. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Probably those of you that were saved later in life, there's a lot of baggage there. I would much rather be saved when Pastor Nathan was saved than to be saved like the thief on the cross. Because there's very little that he can do. You know, if you die right before, you know, you get saved right before death. Say, whoa, I got to live it up. Now I get to go to heaven. Woo! I've never met a person saved like that. You know what they say? I wasted all those years. Now, the time after conversion, there's a verse that I want you to see. And it is the verse 2 Corinthians 5:17. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, anybody know what that says? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know the song, things are different now. Something's happened to me since I gave my life to Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing to know. I may not be everything I ought to be, but I'm certainly not what I used to be. And the Christian life is a growing process. And of course, you take someone like Chris, and I'm picking on you, Chris, that you've only been saved 3 months, but yet you've got a whole life ahead of you to say, this is what God did. All right? And if you were saved at an early age and you didn't get into all the junk, then you can say, by God's grace, I want to tell you how faithful God's been for 20 years. Now, if you turn this over, things to include, and I'm going through these quick, honest statements, because what happens is sometimes you hear somebody, man, I was saved from drugs, and I was saved from alcohol, and I was saved from evil, wicked living, and at 3 years old I came to Christ. You know, but you know, when somebody has heard a testimony of these guys who have gone through a lot, and they're not happy about it, and they regret it, and somebody said, well, I need to make mine sound more exciting. Don't make it more exciting. Make it true. And say that you would go to somebody and to say, man, God saved me from all that junk. That's a better testimony, I think. God's faithfulness since your salvation. That's the second thing there. So since you've been saved, how has God been faithful to you? Capital C, assurance of salvation. You know, you will boggle the minds of unsaved people when you say, I know what's going to happen when I die. And they'll say, well, you're just being boastful. No, I'm just being confident in what God has said. All right? And you want to give an account of how you got saved. All right? Things to avoid. You want to avoid meaningless statements. And this is why I say you don't want... I mean, it might be extremely interesting to you what happened in your life. But they may not need to know all the customs of the Philippines. Or they may not need to know the fact that you were number one in state in your basketball team. They may not need to know that. So don't give meaningless information. Because what we're trying to do, every word is as gold. We want to say what we want to say. Don't give a holier than thou impression, you know. Let me tell you how great I am. You know, no. We do not want to come across as some kind of Pharisee. Because you know what? When you're giving the gospel to people, their lives have been ruined. We're talking about people who have murdered babies. People who have been on pornography and they're hooked on that for years. We're dealing with people who have totally ruined their marriages. So we don't want to come across big me, little you. All right? Thirdly, terms that are not understood without explanation, such as, I got saved. Now, you might say I was saved, but you're going to explain that if they'll listen to you. You know, have you been regenerated? Well, what in the world does that mean? How's your sanctification coming along? Well, they don't know. I've been real burdened. Tell me about your justification. You know, you don't want to use terms that without some explanation. You don't want to name, and this I would say in a witnessing situation, be careful at least. If you're going to name a denomination, make sure you do this with context. Because if they don't know you, it doesn't do you good to attack Catholicism. All right? So, naming denominations. Did I not give a point? Okay. All right. And then number or capital E, you don't want to exalt sin. Well, let me tell you how many women I molested and how much drugs I took. And let me tell you about the time that I robbed the bank. You know, well, what many times that does is that just causes people to say, whoa, man, I wish I could get to do that. You know, don't want to exalt sin. Or they could say, man, I'm glad I'm not that bad. Because if I was that bad, I'd need to get saved too. You know, so don't want to exalt sin. All right. So let's come back to this little chart that I've given. All right, and what I'm trying to say here is, it is good to, I think, if you're going to do it within 3 minutes, do it with three paragraphs, okay? Paragraph number one, my life before I was saved. Number two, how I got saved. And number three, my life since I've been saved. That's what I would suggest. And obviously my life before I was saved, if you were saved at the age of four, that might not be very long at all. Could be a couple sentences maybe. And you take someone like Pastor Nathan, he could very easily talk about how God brought him up in a God-fearing home. All right? I know I don't have that testimony. And then okay, you did the, you were this way. Tell me, let me tell you how things changed and how I came to Christ. And then thirdly, since I've been saved, let me tell you what God has done. Now, if you don't have to have three long paragraphs, it could be a couple sentences on the first part, and maybe a little bit more about when you got saved, and then the third part, what's happened since you've been saved. Now, it's important that we try to do this. So let me give you my testimony, all right? And I want you to see that in my testimony, how I have divided that from before, during, and after, okay? And what I do, I'll sit down with somebody and I'm talking to them. I said, can I tell you a little bit about myself? Yeah, sure. Now, that's why you don't want to go too long. But I say to them, all my life I had a respect for God. And yet, at a very early age, I knew and I understood that my attitudes and actions were often wrong. I did not grow up in church. As a matter of fact, I didn't really have much to do with church. But I do remember at the age of 12, praying a prayer. A couple of guys came to a neighbor's house, and I went in and prayed a prayer. Got baptized. And after that, I went to church for a few times. But instead of pursuing God, I pursued sports, and I pursued the happiness I could get by having friends. And interestingly, because sports kept me out of a lot of trouble, but you know what? My friends got me into a lot of trouble. And at the age of 15, I was walking on a side of a road with two of my friends, and and this drunk driver comes along and he hits my two friends, killing one of them, missing me by probably inches. And I'm thinking, why did I not die? I was devastated. I was horrified of dying. And I was having nightmares regularly, sometimes nightly. I was greatly confused for about a year, and I sought peace in trying to get satisfaction by doing wrong things. Now that was, I didn't time this, but that was maybe a little after a minute, 2 minutes, okay. And then I say, but one day my brother Ron, who claimed to be an atheist, started going to church. And I said, you know, I saw a change in him. And he started talking about things of God. There was a joy I couldn't explain. And so I said, Ron, what happened? He said, well, I was reading a book on the end times. In the last chapter, I had an opportunity to accept Christ, and I did. And he said, and Dave, and here I am, 16 years of age, he says, you are going to die. And when you do die, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And that week, I admitted I was sinful, and I received God into my life by asking Jesus to be my Savior at the age of 16. And from that moment on, see, now I'm going to the third part. From that moment on, my life changed. Immediately I stopped having nightmares. I had a desire to want to live for God. I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to go to church. I mean, this was strange for me. God changed my life, and my life has not been perfect, but one thing I'm absolutely sure of, that if I died tonight, I know I'll go to heaven. Now, what I'll usually do at that point is say, now, John, God doesn't want people to die and go to hell. And I ask them the two questions that we'll get into. So we want to make sure we come up with a testimony. You say, well, I've written one out. Okay, good. Tweak it. Tweak it down. Because I could have told you a whole lot of stuff. But I know one thing. I've heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves. All right? So let's do our very best. So this week, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to write out your testimony or use the testimony you've written out. If I called your name, I'll give you your testimony. I'll take and give a copy of it to you. And so once you give it to me, you can never get it back. All right. So, all right. Any questions on that? So, by God's grace, let's use our testimony. Let's overcome the devil with the word of our testimony. I did want to show you one passage. Look over to the book of Acts, chapter 26, because you're going to see this practice in the scripture. In Acts chapter 26, and I don't have much time to say this, but look over to chapter 26. You'll see that the Apostle Paul gets saved in chapter 9 of Acts, and then there's a couple times where he gives his testimony. But I want you to notice Acts chapter 26. Notice what Paul does. Here he is before Agrippa. In verse 4, he says, my manner of life from my what? Youth. Okay. Now, is that before, during, or when after he got saved? That was before. All right. If you look at chapter 26, verse 12. Whereupon I went to Damascus. And of course, he tells of his conversion. All right? So he talks about how he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, how they knew he was, and how he had seen the vision on the road to Damascus. And then verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first of them in Damascus and at Jerusalem. In other words, let me tell you what's happened since then. And we're told that Festus was there, says in verse 24, Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning's made you mad. And he said, I'm not mad. Verse 27, Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And in verse 30, and when he had thus spoken, the king rose up and the governor and Bernice, and they sat with them. And verse 28, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. See, here's the thing. This is what I'm saying. Use your testimony, and you don't always use your testimony, but it can be an incredible tool to share your faith, all right? And people can come to Christ. Now, Lord, I ask that you would help us to truly understand the great opportunity we have to share our faith. And Lord, as we consider our testimonies, help us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And Lord, guide and direct us in all that we do. And help us, Father, to even be willing to be embarrassed, and yes, even to be martyred, if need be, because of the word of our testimony. And we'll praise you for it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, by the way, next week, your assignment is write out your testimony, and we'll spend the evening hearing each other's testimonies. What a blessing that is. And then the verse is Romans, is it 6? What is it? 6:23. for the wages of sin is death. Okay, so let's talk about these verses. The first one was John 3:16. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The second verse is Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 3:4. Whomsoever transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, one thing I want you to see on that verse, get that down. What is sin? It's the transgression of the law. All right? And then next week is Romans 6:23. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming. And I hope you'll come back. We are going to meet with those who are the trainers right in here in the first two rows. And I want to make sure that we're on the same sheet of music on this.